Hey friends, welcome back to the show. I'm so glad you're joining me on the Amber Bay Show today because my friend Tom Althouse drops by and we have a great show. I love spending time with them. We talk about all kinds of stuff. We talk about Project Bluebeam, alien invasion. We talk about the sinister plots of Hollywood and how they whisper through art. So we're talking about all that and more on today's episode. So I hope you really like it. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Please do so. Like, share, and subscribe. Okay, if you believe in what I'm doing and you like the content, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is by going to theambermayshow.com and click the donate button and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or you can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber there. That would really help support the program. I always add more content to Telegram. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show on Telegram. I'd love to see you there. I'm on True Social, Amber May, Frank Social, Amber May. I just joined Clout Hub. So join me there as well. So without any further ado, please check out the sponsors, people that have partnered with this to help save you money. And some of the, right now with the banking issues going on, you might want to go call EPSWealthManagement.com, get a hold of them, EPSWealthManagement.com, check out their silver and gold, and maybe start securing some of your wealth and a hedge against inflation with some silver and gold. So talk to them about getting you some because the CBDC is on the horizon. There's a website, an article that came out that's saying July of this year. So anyways, check that out, EPSWealthManagement.com. Check out the sponsors and the links below or on the website, and that would really help. Anyways, coming up right now is my friend, Tom Althouse. Like I told you guys, I have my friend Tom Althouse joining us. He was the creator of Matrix, and he has new stuff to share with us on this episode. So I'm so excited to hear all the things that happened on your trip, all the new things that you found out. Welcome, Tom, to the program.
Thank you so much. Good to be here, Amber. There's so much.
I'm so excited because we've been talking, you know, periodically off and on. And I know that trip to Maui, you were going to find some more stuff. So, like, tell me all the new things.
It was crazy. We actually had basically what it comes down to, rocket scientists hosted me on the trip. So it ended up where I didn't pay for a vehicle. I didn't pay for housing. They treated me like gold on the flights. When they found out I was the author, I was bumped up. And given like what's next to first class. It was really sweet. So on the way back, I was delayed at the boarding entrance area because the staff was talking to me about, you know, what it was written, what it meant, wanted pictures together.
The staff is in the airports,
the airlines. Yeah, American Airlines. So then when I got on the trip, it was really amazing because it was like the pilot actually called into the security group to say, look, there was some things that were left that were taken at the security checkpoint, which wasn't right. And
you didn't know that they took your stuff?
I didn't realize it was being held. And it was evidence that we had gathered that the groups have been after for so long. And basically what happened during the faux trial where they threw the case with a, you know, suspended license, mm-hmm. attorney and everything. They actually made sure that evidence disappeared. So on Maui was a lockup that had all this evidence that we needed to get to finally. And we actually had a gentleman that was holding on to it that switched up, sold out. And so we had to change the lock on this area where he was shepherding because they had gotten to him. And so I then arrived there, the guys that were involved with the telescopes on Maui and everything like that, and Boeing, they took care of me there, and I was able to get all the evidence shipped back. But the electronic stuff and some of the very, very important evidence, such as this right here, this is actually original, old school, original 1993 to 95, original copies of the script, time stamped and everything, where this kind of stuff, zip stuff.
Oh, is that a floppy disk?
Yeah, that's an old-fashioned.
Oh, dang, you're right.
Actual script. Now, what the whole battle with them was that they were trying to say by destroying scripts and drafts that we had no evidence of any script done before 96. That was key. There's a whole story around this going into the documentary.
But wait, Tom, I got to pause for a second because you showed me your script on several shows and mm-hmm. you showed me like timestamps and things like that. And you showed me the music that George Michael wrote for you.
Yes. Like,
so what was that then?
Well, that script is the 1998 version used on set in 1999.
Mm.
Their argument was there was no script prior to 93 or during 93. Because the Wachowskis don't put the name Matrix until they post-date it in 1996. Okay. So the argument, that's why George Michael died, because he's that proof that was created mm-hmm. in 1993. Because he had to, you know, read the whole thing before he okayed it to be sent in. Their attorney that was supplied tried to say that, you know, he had talked to the Semitic attorney, James Boyd, and that he had nothing. Well, I talked to James Boyd. He had everything, and including that original work and stuff, the original music where George Michael's music's on it. So the reason this stuff's so important is because they were getting rid of all evidence and all witnesses that would show that the work was done in 93. Prior to the Wachowskis putting anything down.
Because what I remember about your story is you had to turn it in. What was it, Disney or was it Warner Brothers? You turned it in.
Both got it. Disney and Warner Brothers got it.
Yeah, so you gave them the original script, right? Like.
Yeah. They got the original stuff. And then they also had a...
Got it. What was that called? Oh, my brain is leaving me. Like when you go and you submit your stuff to... For like a trade type thing. Ah, my brain is leaving me. Because then
well, option, what they'll do is they'll option work and they'll pay an author or
well, where there's a title and like you submit it and there's title.
Copyright.
There's copyright. Thank you.
Yeah.
You got it copyrighted and then they got it for me, right?
Yeah, we just had a big battle with the copyright office because we knew there was a problem. What usually happens is when you work with an agency or something, they'll treat you nice until they get the word. And the Tony Rankin, the attorney from Maui that was with in the pocket classmates with Warner Bros. Attorneys, he slipped up and said that I would find only 8 pages of scribbled notes in the copyright office on my entry. That's because they took the poor man's patent right here. Poor man's patent is when you mail it to yourself, right?
Mm.
Mailing to myself at the time in Chesapeake, Virginia. And what's interesting, there's a note on here from Rankin, and it's very sloppy. He writes very, very terribly. He's not a good attorney. So he wrote, this is a key thing, you know, mailed to himself, opened a depot. Rankin was at a dinner at our house on Maui before we had our deposition. He ripped open this thing and took out the full script. You can see.
I remember you saying
that. You can see the crease there. That's the crease of a full script. Mm-hmm. This is the act of the full script at the seams. So he rips it open, takes it out, and shoves it down the box of my child's art box, ruining some of my child's artwork at the time, my young child. And so this thing even says, script, do not open. Script, not 8 pages of scribbled notes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they did was Warner Brothers coordinated with him to open it ahead of time and stick in scribbled notes. I'm going to show you a sample. It's still in here. Let me show you a sample of scribbled notes. Why would an author mail it to himself? Now, I'll show you some interesting things about this because we never really discussed this. Here is, look like a screenplay. Why would an author mail himself that? Don't worry, don't try to read it. It's garbage.
Yeah, it doesn't look like anything to
me. It's garbage. So what they did was they left the story treatment in there, but they took out the first page of the story treatment. Why'd they take this first page away? Because on the back, notarized statement on the back.
Mm.
So they were pulling the notarized statement because when it was originally formed, it was a full script, a story treatment, and this on top. So Rankin rips out the full script and rips this out, not realizing that on the back of it is first page of story treatment.
Mm.
When I open it at depositions, I don't have this first page. And the script's gone. So during deposition, I'm going, it's been tampered with. It's been tampered with. And Rankin says this, basically, he goes, let's get it out of my plaintiff's hands before he's a chance to go through it. And why don't you go take it and copy it before he's a chance to go through it? Why would you give the opposing firm contested evidence to go alone and copy away from us before I have a chance to review it? Unless you're pocketed, bought. Fortunately, he had the recorder in his pocket, my recorder, his recorder, and he had his recording, mine off, and he gave me back the wrong recorder. He gave me his that had recorded everything. That's going to be such a boom in the documentary.
So the script that you were showing us was the one that they used on set. And then the floppy disk that you're showing me was your original script that you wrote.
The 93 version.
Okay.
Yes. And so what you have is during the deposition, the attorney goes and copies the classmate of Rankin from Warner Brothers, a transgender firm called Lesley & Proctor, goes and copies off this and comes back 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, apologizing. You hear it on the transcript and the tape. Rankin gave us the recorder back. So it's on there. She's saying, you know, I used to mock people that couldn't work the copy machines, but I was copying off the first few pages and forgot how to work it. Make any sense? The reason she stopped copying was she was realizing this was missing. And they had it somewhere because they had stolen it when Rankin had ripped it open prior. So they spend the rest of the deposition searching for this. At the end of the deposition, you hear on the tape them saying, oh, look, we're out of time. This is 7.5 hours later. Mr. Rankin, why don't you go ahead and stretch your legs with me? And I got to get something very important from my office. They send Rankin back in with this reinserted, arguing that it was there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes in and goes, I understand you want to change your testimony, that everything was fine with the packet. So what happens is then they don't let me review my testimony, don't let me review my transcript or anything. It's illegal. It's fraud. On the tape from recording from Rankin, it's on there. So he didn't think he'd hand the wrong tape recorder back. So on there, he's talking to Burroughs about, you know, the lack of discovery. He doesn't care. And she goes, well, it's a moot point to ask for any discovery or initial disclosures. What? That's required in the case. Required. Because we don't have any working drafts. There's no working drafts in the Matrix.
Working drafts meaning
no drafts, no working scripts.
Okay. So I was thinking that like you were creating it at the time. And I'm like, well, it was already created.
You just hit something very important. For the Matrix, what they did, Warner Brothers is saying they have no working drafts. They have no working drafts. Warner Brothers, what they did was they made it up on set using the script in hand, my script, the storyboard in hand, and then wrote down post-shooting what they shot.
Mm-hmm.
Then post-dated 96.
So let me ask you this. You go to Maui. This guy has your original script on the floppy disk. How did he get it?
It was stored. I had everything stored there when the case was thrown. The attorneys refused to enter any of my stuff into evidence. See, one of the ways they threw it, when you see Tom Waldhouse lost his case online, right? And that was supposed to be the end of the story. When you look at that, you have to understand that Rankin, one of the last things he did when he was fired, he kept working against us, but one of the last things he did was when he was fired, you're fired, you're supposed to stop, no more action, was within half an hour, he sends us an email saying that within half an hour, basically, he contacted Warner Brothers by phone, his classmate, the attorney, Warner Brothers, and said to us in the email, well, usually you have to have a meeting for summary judgment. I called the phone call a meeting and I'm allowing them to proceed the summary judgment without objection. No evidence, no objection means we've lost. After he's fired, he completes his job in the pocket for Warner Brothers after he's fired. By allowing them to proceed to summary judgment without objection, that's why you see Tom Waldhouse lost his case.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin. Set up your telemed appointment and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that will help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and like some flavoring. And then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy from Beauty for Ashes, and you are watching The Amber May Show.
Hey, so when you are a guest at the Amber May's house, you get luxury. And how you get luxury is I have this sleeping couch, this sleeper sofa, and you're telling me that's not luxury. It is when you put a MyPillow mattress topper on it. All my guests that have come over and stayed at my house have really enjoyed this sleeper sofa, which says a lot because they're getting to sleep on the MyPillow pillows, and you get the MyPillow mattress topper. And then it doesn't stop there with the luxury, because when you shower at the Amber May Show's house, you get to have a MyPillow towel. I don't have the kids using it. I just let the adults have the luxury. So the adults get to use the MyPillow, and they're phenomenal. And right now, there's a massive sale going on with the MyPillow towels. So you should really put luxury into your home and live it every day like Amber May does every day. So I have a MyPillow mattress topper on my bed. I use the MyPillow sheets, the MyPillow towels, the MyPillow slippers. I live luxury, and I don't have to pay the luxury price because my pillow has promo code. So use my name, Amber, and save up to 66% off, and you can live luxurious as well.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Well, I know it wasn't. The courts are captured. You know that. I know that. Yeah. I live in Arizona. Yeah. We can't get a great election case passed in court. I mean, we did get a somewhat of a win with Carrie Lake, praise God. But still, like, overall, the courts are captured. And here and there, you'll find a good judge. Like, I do believe that God doesn't leave us completely void of justice. And there, you just got to find that judge. You know, they're there within the garbage judges. They're still there. So it's just a matter of time before you find a good judge. But going back to Maui, so you go and take a trip, and you were treated like royalty by the staff on the airlines.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
It was your floppy disk because this person was keeping it safe. But how did they even get it? I'm sorry, I wasn't clear on that. How did they even get your script and all that?
All my stuff was on Maui, basically, and you'll see in the transcripts of Rankin's people and stuff saying, "Where is it? Where is it? Where is it?" And they want it after the case is thrown. They want all the evidence destroyed. They want everything wrapped up by 2016, that there'd be nothing happening. That's why George Michael died during 2016. So it's on Maui, believe it or not, with a director who worked with Warner Brothers.
And so was he the director on the film?
No. He was just, he had done other pieces with Warner Brothers.
Oh, and so somehow he got in touch with your material?
He had kept it outside, got rained on, things like this. It was basically being destroyed. But I had another gentleman, a Scottish gentleman, a friend of mine at the time, took the stuff, stored it at his place, and then he got turned. And so it was in a storage area. So they just kept going after with phone calls, offers to people I knew. It was either harassment, things like that. They were trying to shut down everything and get this evidence. They were after this evidence so hard. And so it was in a storage area finally. in a storage area I was paying for on Maui. And my mom was helping to pay for that too. So it was like there. And I finally made the trip to Maui and secured it when I felt it was safe enough to do so. And the storage people were amazing. They actually put a changed lock on it, cut the lock of the individual that had stored it for me at the time. He wasn't paying for storage, I was, but he had lock access. So when he was turned, it was evident because he was stealing stuff from me. So we changed the lock and I went, got the stuff, mailed it back in a short period of time. And post office is great, took care of everything, and came back. And we saw what we had. And boy, did we have.
Okay, so you have the original script on floppy disk, which is so cool. Hopefully we can find a computer that will still read that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's gonna be you might have to go to an antique shop and find a computer from the 90s.
Yeah, there's so many things we got too. We'll be able to make this happen because we also have hard copies and things like that. We also have recordings that is going to put Pat Robertson in jail. Ooh. These recordings are from his psych personnel, people that were like supposed to reprogram my kids. Darlene Graves, who is
were your kids in his school too?
They were taken from me because the wife was a fan of Pat Robertson, and so she turned.
Because you guys met at the Pat Robertson University, you and your first wife, right?
No, we met just before, before I went to Pat Robertson University. And that's a whole story in itself. And so not somebody I really wanted to be with. But, you know, what happened was all this stuff ensued at Pat Robertson's organization after I was being groomed to be the face of Christian Coalition. That's the lot of the impetus for the screenplay being written. Whispering through art, what's going on with the cabal. Then we saw how Robertson was connected to Disney. My work was submitted to Disney through Robertson's people. And we have the letters attesting to that and everything now. So we've got a gold mine of just like.
And then gold. Once you rejected being a part of the sex ring, that's yes, when that things was, started really turning for you, right?
That's when everything turned. That's when everything was taken. And we have the letter from Robertson and everything else where they just blew a gasket. When I didn't say yes to the sex ring, because that's the required thing to be understood in the organization that you comply.
I have heard that, like, I have heard from a friend a good friend of mine who has a friend who's a famous singer now. Okay. And he was telling the story on a podcast, that this girl, she started out as a Christian singer. And then she got more secular because she was telling him, my friend, that she wanted a broader audience. I believe it's a female. He didn't specify exactly, but I think it's a female.
Yeah, exactly. And Amy Grant did. Amy Grant did that very thing.
So. Amy Grant? Well, wait. I know Amy Grant did that, but wait and let me continue with this story. Right. And maybe you, I don't know, I've never met Amy Grant. I liked her music, but anyway, so she got more of an audience, and then they compromised her. She had to do something on film. He didn't specify what that was. Maybe she didn't tell him. They didn't specify what it was, but they did something on film, and they told her, the only way you're going to advance your career is if you do this, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I believed it based on what your story was. Kanye West says stuff. We've seen documentaries with Out of the Shadows and things like that, where I'm like, oh, that's, they probably captured almost. And then Kippy, he had his story. I mean, you keep hearing a repeat, and it doesn't surprise me that that's what happened. So she did something. Now she's a super uber famous person. Mm-hmm. And those that reject doing those heinous things end up losing everything. Megan Walsh is a great example of that. You're a great example of that. Those that don't want to go along, you end up being nothing. You know, they make sure you're nothing.
That's right. That's exactly it. They quote, destroy your life. Mm-hmm. And to make you an example to others so that they will accept. Like, look at my siblings that accepted the deals. Mm-hmm. The deals were then passed to them that were made for me. And so now they're enjoying black tie dinners at the White House, things like that. So it's like, yeah, so the Capitol. So it's like that's their life now. They brag about the travel, the best of everything, and now they have it all. So because they did sell out.
Do you have anything you can show us that you got from Maui on your trip to Maui?
Oh yeah, I got all kinds of things. Like one interesting thing right here is here's my commencement program from Central West, Neos School in the first graphic. And you know, I don't know if I ever showed you this. This is kind of fun. That's my Letterman jacket from Central West.
So, oh
West, yeah, West. So you look at the graphic with Neo, the rap sheet first graphic. West is the high school. So Central West. So we've got unbelievable stuff. Like even this is fun. Here's my ID from Robertson's organization. And you'll see the black tie and the white shirt. Mm-hmm. And I was the odd student out that dressed that way. That's why Neo in the rap sheet, the next page shows him with the white tie and the black tie. Yeah. Shirt. Mm-hmm. So they're copying everything like that. Then we've
and
got
also those guys. What was the bad guy who wore the glasses? He and
Smith.
The
Smith. Yeah,
Smith. They, yeah. Yeah. He did the same thing. White shirt, black tie, jacket.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. So that's what, you know, and I was the odd student out and I dressed that way. Here's the commencement, or not commencement, this is the annual, it's a Pat Robertson dinner that I attended in Altoona, Pennsylvania, where I was asked to attend. And so
does
I
have the date, like the year on
February
there?
25th, 1987.
1987, okay.
Yeah. And here is something really important. One of the attorneys that was supposed to throw my case, Barry Jenkins, the Robertson's people hired Pittman. It says Jenkins and Pittman. Well, Pittman got full membership in the firm being used by Robertson after Jenkins was representing me. You can't do that. You can't hire. And he got full status. So that they used that and they didn't. That's fraud. And this guy totally sold out the other side. So it's like that's how they do this stuff. They have a pattern, like you said, about the approachment. And how they do that, that's the pattern they use. They will do a sexual act with you or something, and then say that if you don't follow the rules, you'll be destroyed. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons that we're now told the Wachowskis put in my high school, my birthday, my dad's name, my name, 380 in numerology, meaning, you know, to give up your most cherished worldly possession, prepare for your death. The joke was they were doing that for me, and then TA 4099. All that in the first graphic. The reason they did that, we now know, is because they wanted to have a leg up on Warner Brothers. Besides mocking the author, they're having a leg up on Warner Brothers. So they're trying to do a reverse burn back on Warner Brothers. That if it's ever revealed that the Wachowskis actually stole the work, then we will take Warner Brothers down with us, with this entry, that this was in the film to show that, yeah, you know, it was stolen. So basically, they're doing trying to put one up on Warner Brothers. So then Warner Brothers made them pay by becoming women, where they're not actually, they're supposed to appear as women. They're not actually women, they're appearing as women. They still are uncut, if you will.
So they're making them be transgender in order for them to keep producing films. And if they don't play along, then they're going to be done. Their career is
a punishment. Yes, you're right. It's a punishment for having mm-hmm. stuck the author's information in. Because they didn't just stick the stuff in the graphic, like we said, the first that rap sheet. They also stuck in, like we said, the clock. When you look at, like I've shown this up before.
But it wasn't just The Matrix that they did that to you. They did Matrix. That in the latest film that I saw was Free Guy with Ryan. Anyways, he's a cute guy. I don't know why his name, my brain is just like not even working today. Okay. But Free Guy was exactly like The Matrix. And it was like the last Matrix, the very last one where they talk about the author creating you know, this script in both films, in the last Matrix and in Free Guy, they made it out to be like a video game. That this creator created this video game or whatever. It was those two movies were exactly the same, basically, yeah. Free Guy and The Matrix. And all I kept thinking is like, dang, they're talking about Tom. They're talking about Tom. The whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. What's wild is you look at Man in the High Castle. I don't know if I discussed
that. I love that show, by the way.
Yeah. Well, what did I tell you? I told you what's in Man in the High Castle, right?
Oh, yeah.
The rap sheet. Yeah. So the rap sheet on both Matrix and Man in the High Castle match up with the birthdays of the targeted individuals in my family, including myself and those that have been killed. So it's unbelievable. And both have 9/11 and both have Operation Northwoods March 11th, 1962. Mm-hmm. Both are there.
I watched the whole thing, It was really good, but it was kind of creepy because I felt like it was so much like what's happening today with the ball. But what I loved about the end of that, maybe I shouldn't say it. I will keep the suspense for people who haven't watched The Man in High Castle, but there's nothing that about Tom. There was, and I
thought, seven twos on the clock all through it. You've got the names, the characters all through it. You've got the rap sheet that has my mom's birthday and very cleverly rendered. And the 9/11s in it with my son's birthday, Sean's birthday, Kirk's birthday, my birthday, my mom's birthday. And like I said, it's very clever the way they do my mom's birthday because they have it as May 23rd, I think it is. And in May 23rd, she was born May 22nd, I think it was. And so she was born May 22nd, but the character's from Okinawa. So in the morning of May 22nd, when she's born, it's May 23rd in Okinawa. So they actually matched her birthday that way. Brilliant. And then the same time, they are clever that way. And then the same thing with March 11th, 1962. The tape that is burned, that Juliana burns, and the reason she's named Juliana is because Julie and Trisha Ann. So you mix my two sisters' names together, Juliana. So they mix my two sisters' names together.
Oh.
And then you have John Smith, John, my dad's name. Tom is his son. Tom is my name. Son is John, the agent, Smith. And then what you have is in there a very freaky thing where...
Yeah, like you said before in a previous episode, it is very weird that Neo has two names. That makes it so confusing.
That makes no sense. You're never supposed to do that, right?
No. You're never supposed to do that. Why doesn't he have the same name in both the Matrix and the non-Matrix? And I can't even begin to tell you. Like, I keep telling people, I'm like, God gave my friend Tom this script to like share with the world about what's going on, and what he is saying is so true. Like when you go back and watch that movie, it's all this, the AI stuff, and the we're finding out our government is like not for us but totally against, like things in your movie came true. And that's because you had that moment that God just like downloaded all this stuff, right, and then you're typing a million miles an hour, which was amazing, you know. And I'm just honored that I got to be your friends and be a part of meeting the creator, because that movie made a difference. Everyone loved the movie. Everyone did.
And in it,
it explains a lot.
And in the Immortals, what your architect is from Nazi Germany. They try to say Tom wrote something about Nazi Germany and Christ. No, it is the Matrix story, but it makes sense of where these original characters come from. Instead of just calling the architect, which they did right off the bat, from my work, the architect actually has historical basis, which is better. That's doing your homework as an author, matching up what would be plausible in history.
Correct.
And then the other character too is matched up. The Christ figure is the only one that can balance the equation in the end. So they put a cross on Neo's chest with his arms out in the crucifix way, and put him where they said he couldn't die in the Christ role, and keep the same ending. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be observing that. The little girl comes up and hugs him, not the Oracle. They just joined the whole story. Little girl hugs him and points to the sun. So what's interesting is they had to rearrange things, and it doesn't make any sense. Yet they say they were keeping the exact same ending. They're not going to change it. Where everybody said Laura.
With the whole Maui thing, do you have anything else you can share with us? Like any other evidence or what else? Oh, what else? Because you said there was other things you wanted to share with me today. So I didn't know.
Oh, there's so much. There's so many things. I mean, one of the things too was, one of the things I want to share with you also is the Copyright Office. We had that tattered, falling apart screenplay I kept holding up. That just looked like it was from Frankenstein's laboratory. And what they didn't know was that probably wouldn't hold up in court anymore because it's falling apart, right? So I needed a pristine copy to prove that, you know, that it'll hold up in court, bolted intact.
I think that one could still hold up in court.
It can, but you would imagine the battle we'll go through with these idiots that are just a monstrous fraud. So what I had to do too is, I mean, they would just take and have it fall apart. But what I did was I asked Library of Congress, I paid for, submitted everything, proper procedure, to have a pristine copy. And I was sent back loose pages. So I contacted and said, this is the one I paid for.
You in the mail, loose pages?
Loose pages. Just like 10-cent copying. Mm. And so I called the contacted the office, copyright office, and I said, look, I paid for this for a certified copy, bolted, blue ribbon, gold seal. The guy said, yes, you did. The records show you did. Let me talk to my supervisor. He came back and said, the supervisor says she's not going to help, not going to give it to you. Says, yes, you paid for it, but not going to give it to you. So I had to find somebody inside the copyright office that would do it. Now, hold on one second.
Wow, Tom.
That person. Now, the reason I think they actually did it. Now, look at the shape of the original.
Like, you're not going to say that person's name, are you?
I am, because they deserve. They're a hero.
Okay.
Look at this thing. Look how ragged this is.
Yeah, of course.
All right, that's going to be contested. It's going to be contested. Now, the pristine copy. Her name's Angela Hightower, and she's a hero. She's going to the documentary. She knows she is. She worked on the inside to make sure I would get the copy and stay with us in the process. It just arrived a couple days ago, just like 2 days ago or so. We got it. So, so here's what came just like 2 days ago. This is a great victory. Now, reason this is important is I had said we already have the proof and the copy and the certified thing. So why doesn't the copyright office just give this to us, you know? And so on that basis, whatever, she helped me. She helped us get it. The truth is they could have contested it. But now, thanks to her, the one time I'll hold it up. Perfect.
Wow, that looks nice.
Perfect condition.
That looks beautiful.
Is that, according to Tony Rankin on Maui, Warner Brothers accomplice, 8 pages of scribbled notes? No. So we have it now. It's a great victory for us because the other side did not want this to happen, that they even had the supervisor shut it down, a name used.
Yeah.
And the reason they used Matrix is they took Immortals, the title Immortals, and switched the letters around and got X on it, and Immortals became Matrix.
So
they did not take one of the copyrighted titles that they had.
Going back, because you said a lot of things happened, like what else since you went to Maui, came back, what else has happened in your world?
There's also a call I made to the sister that's bought. I said, you know, I left a message. I said, because she's not supposed to pick up. She's supposed to pretend that her brother's dangerous and crazy and waving a gun around, she claimed. Mm-hmm. So I called and said, nobody's out to get you. Nobody is against you. We're not interested in anything you're doing. We just want you away from us, and I'm be allowed to raise my son and stay out of our lives. No one's out to get you. So right. No one's, you know. So of course she never responds to that because that doesn't fit what they want or what they need. So they always avoid any conflict resolution because they need the conflict. They need that in order to destroy their targets and paint them to be bad guys.
Part Do your brother and sister have a relationship still with your mom?
No, my sister cut my mom off and got the rest of the family to cut her off, including siblings and cousins.
Yeah. And nephews and sisters. Hollywood's really destroyed your family. I mean, they
destroyed the family.
Siblings and tore you guys apart.
And she scarred my dad to death, became my dad's power of attorney.
Right.
And we have a tape of him begging. He was begging to, first of all, see his son, Tom. He favored me and the rest of them at the end. He said I was a straight shooter. He told me to finish the job. I told him I'm going to make sculptures of them and honor him, his memory. That my dad was crying and screaming that I be removed from the phone and not have any contact with him. It's quite the opposite. You hear on the phone taped message, my dad saying, Tom, I miss you so bad. I'm so proud of you. You're a straight shooter. You know, and finish the job. That's why Julie gets upset. Get them off the phone. So my brother and her say that I'm waving a gun around, going to shoot them. Why would I waste my time with them on anything? You know, and who waves a gun around? Which is the exact language Robertson's people use. When I held up that tape from Maui, you said about what we get from Maui.
Yeah.
Darlene Graves is one of Robertson's henchmen.
Oh, hold on. Let me put this up hold on.
Darlene Graves is one of the henchwomen of Robertson. On this tape, you hear her say in 1992, Tom Aldhouse is waving a gun around, threatening to shoot professors. So isn't it interesting that my sister picks up that language when she's bought and says, my brother's waving a gun around.
Mm-hmm. So what and else is on those tapes that you got from Maui?
Oh, like, my God. Oh, my God.
Show me them.
Like, we have the Mansheim tape.
What's that?
Here we go. What Robertson is going to bring Robertson down, one of the things that will bring Robertson down. This tape, he was supposed to be a non-biased psych person named Paul Mansheim. That's why in the Matrix story I have in the Immortals, Manning does the very thing to Neo's character. And Joel Silver does a piece after it with the character Manning. Mansheim. So what you have is on this tape, he says, what I have before me is a letter of instruction from Pat Robertson to see if I can test the validity of finding you, that layman can say that you're crazy with a gun and dangerous, paranoid, schizophrenic, narcissistic. He's reading off a letter of instruction from Pat Robertson.
You know, they did that to Kanye West to make him look like he was crazy, to shut him up because he was having a hard time being handled.
Well, that's what they did. They did this thing. Now we have the whole tape and the transcript for the documentary. This brings Robertson down. He paid was supposed to be a non-biased psych person. And he said everything he wanted. That's why my sister and Brian Fitzpatrick, the lifelong FBI agent from California, who's actually the congressman, when they contacted my clinician, Caitlin Farrell, at Sanctuary, and get this. You talked about film inserts.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do in Walking Dead?
In 2021, I love Walking Dead. What did they do?
In 2021 in Walking Dead, after the 2020 attempt to put me away on a 302, the next year they shoot the scene and they call the bad guy's place Sanctuary.
Ooh.
Which is the organization that turned and burned us badly. They got a psych person, a clinician, that was proving that I was sane, nothing wrong. That's why we went to her. 12 sessions, Amber. 12 sessions where she came up with the diagnosis that, yeah, there was PTSD from everything I had suffered. That's it. She said, this will prove there's nothing that Robertson said on there. Well, Robertson using my sister and the FBI group using my sister, where they say, have her say waving a gun around now. They got Caitlin Farrell. You're supposed to have 30 days of observing someone before you diagnose a certain something, right? 30 days of observation. I never spoke to Caitlin Farrell again when we were finished. And she gave me the diagnosis that said, this will prove there's nothing they're saying is true. And she did a safety plan that said, it's a safety extra measure she came up with to say that I would never hurt Aiden or anyone else. That's my reason for living and never would do anything harmful to anybody. Safety plan. What does Caitlin Farrell do when she's approached? Now remember, my sister tore up the diagnosis.
Mm.
That said I was tremendous empathy, PTSD only, high, gifted genius. Tore it up. Mm. You can't do that, especially when you're an unlicensed elementary school counselor.
I love that you always throw that in on every episode.
Because it's so important. She got president of psych people in Pennsylvania. She's a licensed elementary school counselor. See the quandary? And so she got that from Fitzpatrick. And top psych person in Pennsylvania from Fitzpatrick. Doling out the rewards with the black tie dinners, engraved invitations, you name it. Trips, you name it.
Jimmy Fallon. So what are you going to do with this evidence that you got? How are you going to get Pat Robertson? Like, what's your plan?
We're doing the documentary right now. We're doing the documentary. We are on fire with what we have. Brian Fitzpatrick is the one that was sent to Ukraine by the FBI with Trudeau's man, Baxter, is the name, B-A-X-T-E-R, under the idea that they were part of the anti-corruption department.
Anti-corruption, yeah.
To destabilize Ukraine so they can do the bioweapons, bio development on the people, experiment on the people in Ukraine. That's what's going on. Mm-hmm. And also plant missiles right in Putin's backyard to try to sneak him. That's what it's all about. It is the Pentagon trying to create a war with Russia. So that's what's going on. We are the bad guys in this whole scenario, not the Russians. We're the bad guys that started this war because we planted NATO missiles right into Ukraine in his backyard. It's the same as them putting in Cuba.
Not only that, but we installed Zelensky. They had someone else. We took him down. He was installed under the Obama administration. And we started wiping out the people they didn't want in office. And even Biden brags about it. And they put in their corrupted players. And like one of the main, really main bad guys that couldn't even get a visa to come here owns one of the banks in Ukraine where our money was going to, and all of a sudden disappeared. And then all of a sudden he gets a visa and he's allowed to come to the United States. And this guy's a really bad guy.
That's
like
right.
The whole thing is just nothing but corruption. The whole Ukraine thing. Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some, have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
So, do you like to start your day off with a cup of coffee? What if I told you you could get a cup of coffee that not only helps rejuvenate your mind, get you going in the morning, but it could reduce stress? What would you say? Well, I have just the solution for you. I have the Java Boost right here. It's delicious. It's the most creamy, delicious vanilla coffee that is infused with antioxidants from muscadine, ginger, and turmeric. It eliminates cravings, it helps support healthy blood chemistry, and it promotes healthy weight loss. When have you ever heard of a coffee that helps promote healthy weight loss? So if you want a coffee that's delicious, creamy, vanilla, helps reduce stress and fatigue, and helps promote healthy weight loss, then you want to grab Java Boost for yourself. And the easiest way to do that is going to cupahealth.com. That's cupahealth.com. Use promo code Amber May at checkout.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And so when Ukraine, when Fitzpatrick goes there, he's also getting rid of the main, like I said, the Attorney General Quiglin. He destroys his life. That was why he went there.
Mm-hmm.
Destroy his life to make sure Zelensky or whatever can be coming in.
And then a whisper through Art, right? There's articles, and I want to pull them up, but there's articles about alien invasions and alien this and alien that. I think they're getting, trying to pre-program us for Project Ruby. With either, they're going to do one of two things, either the recoming of Jesus Christ or the alien invasion, like H.G. Wells.
And you know that's in the Immortals, right? You know that's what's in the Immortals? That's the big reveal in the Immortals? Did you know that?
Yeah, I think we talked about that one time.
Yeah, that's the Robertson plan to fake it.
But I never, Robertson's plan to fake it, right. And I never in my mind ever thought our United States government, military, or mainstream media would ever talk about UFOs and aliens and stuff. And they're starting to drip that in
so that
it pre-programs our mind. So if it does happen, I think there's a lot of us kind of catching on now. So it may not happen because now we know. Like, this is
they're going to release it, Amber. They're going to release it because when I was being tested and qualified for the officer candidate program for the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Air Force officers were telling me, it's common. This is it. Their aliens are real. Of course they are. Look at the universe, how big it is. It's a no-brainer. So, yes, it's all been kept from us. Yes, they're drip feeding to prepare it because they can't hold it back. So they want to be in control of the narrative. It's like that Armageddon, whatever that movie was, where they had the meteors hitting the earth. And whatever one where, the African-American guy is the president. And what you have is he's saying, we've got to control this and release to the public our version of the story, basically, before it gets out.
Do you see this? So, do you see my screen? Mm-hmm. Time traveler claims hostile aliens are coming to take back Earth, New York Post. An algorithm has detected 8 mysterious signals that possibly came from aliens. That's MSN. Forbes, Alien Dark Descent. Is the aliens RTS game never knew I wanted? Something coming to America, ready to take UFO seriously. I mean, The Guardian, Alien Life. I mean, this is crazy. Harvard physicist plans mission approved meteorite is an alien probe. I'm like, how? Never in my, that was New York Post. I mean, there was also the, I think it was a general in the military was talking about it. Pentagon UFO chief says an alien mothership is in our solar system, possibly. MilityTimes.com.
They know it.
Pentagon officials suggest alien mothership in our solar system. This is Fox News.
You know what's funny, Amber? What's funny is there has been communication with individuals. Now, if it's a benevolent alien race, right? Forget the gray stuff and all that. If it's a benevolent alien race, and they're choosing who to communicate with, right? They pick, here's what I got. The artists, those with good hearts, those with good intentions, if they're good. If they're vicious, they'll pick the vicious ones. Where did all these downloads come from? Yes, God downloads, things like that. Also, there's other things coming through. And so what we have is the government's trying to make it that these beings are bad and evil because they don't want to lose control anymore of the house, the planet. So
my whole thing is like, it's all pre-programmed brain. Like they're going to do something with this, or they're going to attempt to do, because never in my life, like go back 10 years. Did we ever see mainstream media ever talk about aliens? They always make fun of people like, who UFO sightings, those, they always make fun of those people. And whether you believe in aliens or not, besides the point, my point in this whole thing is we had mainstream media now talk about alien this, alien that.
Right.
Just like you've talked about before, you know, it's like whispering through art. So they're whispering now through the news articles. And it's just like, I'm just blown away. I'm just like,
you know, we're in kindergarten and these races are graduated from college. So they're way ahead of us.
And I just say people be aware because there's going to be something, Project Blue Beam, look it up. And then I just showed you a whole bunch of articles. Washington Times Post, it's time to stop UFO mania. The daily, like it's like CNN, NASA is getting serious about UFOs. I'm like, this is insane. You know what
you
I mean?
What?
It's in 23 in this year.
They make a hype out of it, don't they? You know what? I can tell you what a alien session could be like right now. Keep in mind, they're afraid of losing their power, their influence. They want to be the ones that are forefront, taking the shots, calling the shots. Now, here's what's going to happen. Here's my prediction. You're going to have these alien beings appearing to people like myself, other artists that did what we're supposed to do and had a heart. And it'll be as simple as this. Oh, there you are. Good to see you. Yeah, it's great to see you. That's it. No booming blasts or drums or tense music or heart racing. Just, there you are. We knew you were there. Yeah, it was good. Thanks for everything you've been doing.
Well,
and
if,
talking to the officials of the government.
Well, I don't think that real aliens are going to show up. I really don't. I think it's, they're saying it, so they're going to plan something that's fake. Like, I truly don't think
Second Coming, yes,
they're going to show up. I think they're going to make it look like they're here. They're going to do, like, I think it's going to be like an Orson Welles type. This is my prediction, where that was all fake, but people mm-hmm. really believed it to be true. On their radio show, like, people were really freaking out, believing it to be true. And I think we're going to see something similar, because there's no reason why mainstream news will be talking about when they've never talked about it before. Now we know about Project Bluebeam, and then suddenly all these alien stories.
Yeah, you're going to see, they'll see the flyovers. They'll be able to capture the flyovers and things like this. There'll be appearances.
Yeah. See, well, there's a trick going on, and they're going to try and trick people. What the trick is, I don't know. But when you start seeing all this stuff, you got to start just paying attention and realize something more is going on than meets the eye. It's just weird. So when you get those, like, those fuzzy feelings, or not fuzzy as in good, but like when you get those feelings, like people paying attention and now whispering through art, now you watch TV shows, you watch the movies, now you know they want us to pre-program, then you see the news articles, just like, just be aware, something's coming.
Well said.
And maybe because there's a lot of us that kind of know about Project Bluebeam and are kind of picking up on the news articles, perhaps it's not going to happen. I don't know. And a lot of people now know about the CBDCs because they're coming in July. I have articles in my Telegram. I'm going to post it on my website. But there's also Governor DeSantis against it. And then you have Senator Cruz trying to make a law against it. So you have some states that are standing up against the CBDC. But had none of us talked about it, then it would have just gone and everyone would have had to follow the CBDC. Now, I think because there's enough of us talking about it, mm-hmm. maybe we'll have the opportunity to defeat it, because we're already seeing people trying to start legislation against CBDCs, central bank digital currency, if you don't know what that is.
Right.
And so hopefully that people know about Project Bluebeam and are noticing the articles, hopefully we will avoid the trickery that they're trying to do with whatever they're trying to accomplish.
Right.
Judging
from how they're acting, the agencies, Hollywood, the rest, they're afraid there's going to be a switch in power. My prediction, my feeling is this, that we've been observed for a very long time, and that they have chosen. It's almost like when someone has a takeover of a corporation, mm-hmm. you fire certain individuals and you bring in your own.
Right.
And so I think what's going to happen is this world's going to be restructured, where certain individuals that have heart, compassion, that's what they're looking for, are going to be then put in a position to keep this world in order.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm really hoping that we're seeing a fundamental shift. I want to get your take on this, Tom. I know you're not like a financial guru or anything, but just like, I just want your opinion. Because my opinion was the reason why the bank collapses was to usher in the CBDC. And now all of a sudden we're seeing the articles July 5th, CBDC, and you know, not July 5th, but in July something, the CBDCs are going to, there's articles. I'll show you, go to my website. It'll be there. And so I'm like, I think that was a good prediction. I think I'm pretty much right about that. Like they were trying to naturally destroy the financial system so that they can, hey, look at this. We're the saviors. Here's another financial system. Don't worry. Nothing to see here. It's not imprisonment. We won't control anything. It's just good all the time. You won't have to carry a wallet. Like, what's your prediction on what you've seen with some of the banking collapse with Silicon Bank and others?
What's happening is, as I said before, life is imitating art. They're drunk on the immortal screenplay, not to toot my own horn. They're drunk on it. They made that clear, Hollywood and the rest. In that screenplay, according to financial aspects, you have it where you just put your hand up on the panel and all transactions are done. We're going to be heading to that. They are imitating everything, including the Neuralink, everything else. So banking system is no exception. You're going to watch them imitate art. As we whisper through art, they're imitating that art. Mm-hmm. Like the fake Oval Office, everything else. If they've gone that far, then yes, your transactions will be changed from banking systems to just panel up. And that'll be universal money system, a one world order money system. Mm-hmm. Watch for that.
Cool. Tom, I love spending time with you and talking to you. You're so much fun. Thank you for coming and making time out of your schedule to come on my program today. I appreciate you.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on.
Take care.
Take care.